Hello, it's Sam Cedar. You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report. However, it's a casual Friday, and, well, it's going to be a freebie Friday because we have a special guest who's going to be joining us later in the program.
Who?
Well, you.
Who's Let's do who's on first. Remember we used to do that bit, who's on first? Yeah, who's going to be there for casual Friday? What's on
buddy,
Tuesday? See, that's what's on.
Janine Garofalo.
What's on second?
Okay.
We'll
get
casual
to the part
Friday
when you're on the actual show.
I love that bit.
Later.
It was Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
I know.
It's Sam Cedar launching an illegal invasion and occupation of your brain.
This episode of the Majority Report is brought to you by Credo Mobile. With Credo, your voice reflects your values. Check out credomobile.com/majority for details.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, December 14th, 2012. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times Building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, it's Casual Friday. You know what that means. Cliff Schechter from Cliff Schechterville. The heartland of the country. Also on the program today, celebrate. Well, we're winding down at the end of the year, I guess that's part of it. A special, rarely happens in studio guest, ladies and gentlemen. You may know her as Janine Garofalo. First, though, a little bit of house cleaning. Also on the show today, Matt, focus here first. We're talking all about the best of the week, but I just wanted to reiterate that starting, well, I guess actually not next week, but the week after, we'll be doing some best of shows and mixed in with a couple of new interviews. Christopher Freeland, during the days that we're supposedly on break, will be with us, and others. But if you have suggestions for best of shows, for you members, of course, that will include things like crazy calls from libertarians, not excluding, what's that guy's name? Schiff. Peter Schiff's brother called into the show one time.
Andrew Schiff.
He called into the show. The chair of the Libertarian Party in Florida called into the program one time. That was enjoyable. Just to know that it's not just libertarians who are trolling around on YouTube who don't have any type of rationale for their belief system. It's nice to know that the leadership as well is highly confused as to what they believe in. So members will know to recommend those type of things for a best of show. But for you non-members, you can recommend a best of interview. We've gotten a lot of recommendations for the Guy Lawson octopus interview, which was named one of the top books by Financial Times. We've had filmmakers on who are now on the short list for the Academy Awards. So send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. And also, I want to just make a point. We've gotten a lot of response from listeners. I mean, we have apparently a lot of listeners who already have Credo, which is good. It means that it's a great sponsor for us. not so good in that we can't convince them to join Credo, but that cuts both ways. But your opportunity to get this great deal from Credo ends December 31st. The highlights, 40% off your voice fees for the first year, unlimited data, and a $350 credit to cover your expenses of switching over. So if you're stuck with Verizon or AT&T, you want to switch over to Credo, anything they charge up to $350 will be credited to your upcoming Credo bills. So check it out. It's credomobile.com/majority. credomobile.com/majority. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Cliff Schechter, and then we'll be talking in studio. People may anticipate they'll be stuttering. I won't be speaking as well. This is what happens when Janine gets around me. But she'll be in studio with us. Maybe a good day for you to check out the Sammy Cam if you're listening to the program live. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Time for a report. We are the majority. Not the sheeple. We are the majority. We the people. Why do we walk the walk? Why do we talk the talk? Why don't we just stand by? If they take a warranty, why? That's why.
Hey guys, listeners of the Majority Report know that we try and put our money where our mouth is when it comes to our sponsors. And I can't say enough about Credo Mobile. They're our newest sponsor. They're the only progressive cell company out there. This is really the best of both worlds for me. I'm so excited, I can barely even say the words. We get to support an organization that fights Republican Tea Party extremists, one that holds Democrats accountable, one that funds the progressive movement, and finally helps keep this show on the air. It's really easy for you to sign up now. Go to credomobile.com/majority. That's credomobile.com/majority. You'll get 40% off your monthly voice fee for 1 year. You'll get true unlimited data. No hinky-dinky, you went over with your megabytes. And they'll even give you a buyout credit of $350 to get out of your contract with one of the big corporate providers that you're stuck with now, so that when you show them your bill, essentially, you won't pay a Credo bill until you go over $350. It's a great deal. Go to credomobile.com/majority right now. That's right. That's the official metal band of the Majority Report, Muckraker. Check out, I think they sell it everywhere. I think iTunes. Muckraker. Check it out. Now it's time for Cliff Schechter. But before we get to Cliff Schechter, of course, we need the Cliff Schechter theme song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. If you want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Hello, Cliff Schechter. How are you?
I'm doing well, Samuel Cedar. How are you doing?
Oh, let's try that one more time. Hello, Cliff Schechter. How are you? We're a little bit we're a little bit nervous today with Janine coming in. So
can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
I mean, not as good as Janine will inevitably sound, but
Good to know that, you know, I thought you were getting nervous that I was coming on.
I get nervous when you come on. I get nervous, but it's, you know, I bust right through it. It's the beginning of the show, so there's no, that's why we put you up front. So I don't have that anticipation, so I don't get nervous. That's basically it.
Yes, well, I think that that might be helpful for you. You know, just get it out of the way.
All right, Cliff, let's jump right in because a lot of smaller, interesting stories of the week. We'll get to the fiscal Cliff, as you've now branded yourself.
I do my best.
But let's first talk about Chuck Hagel because and we know now that well, we don't know for sure, but it appears the reports are anyways that Chuck Hagel will be named Secretary of Defense. Give me a sense of what your take is on this.
My take is why.
Well, because don't you know that there are no Democrats who can actually protect us from the bad guys?
I know. I mean, basically, the Republicans have proven so adept at protecting us. For example, when they made sure that the smoking gun wasn't a mushroom cloud, that was helpful. That when we got into that war in Iraq, that's inevitably made us hugely safer. When we went to Afghanistan, the decision, by the way, I agreed with at the time and still think was the right one right after 9/11. That can be argued, I suppose, but I think at least going in and trying to take out people that were harboring the guys that did it and the guys who did it, it should have been about a month, 2 month affair just to kill the main people. But we had guys who didn't plan for how to, you know, go in and what to do and how to get out and any of that stuff. And what do you know? We're still there. It's like the longest American war, maybe the longest actual war. It'll be the 100 years war before we know it. Then they also did a great job with all those warnings. You know, they've Bin Laden determined to attack in the U.S. Swell job ignoring those, going to hang out in the ranch, talking about serious issues, as I remember, like stem cell research. You know, I mean, it's like how many times do these guys have to screw up before Democrats decide that that's not the position? You know, I'm okay with a Republican being Secretary of Transportation. That works for me. Although that's kind of ironic in and of itself, but that's another discussion. But defense, really, and somebody did an analysis, I think, because the position's only existed for about 60-something years since we changed it from Secretary of War, which would have been a better position for Republicans to always be put in, by the way.
Well, yes, and frankly, who are we kidding?
Right. And Jimmy Carter is the only Democratic president who didn't put a Republican in that position, and Republicans have occupied that position for something like 50-something of the 60-something years. And so it's just like, at what point do you get to where you're just like, really? I mean, come on. There's a half dozen to a dozen Democrats, a lot more than that, but high name ones, that would be easy choices to put there. And yet you've got to go running. And I don't really have anything against Chuck Hagel on that position. I have a lot against him on domestic issues. He did vote for Iraq, but so did a lot of other Democrats, quite frankly. He also stood up to his party and came out against it later, which I would call a good thing.
Puts yeah, just at give least to the, people some history on Hagel regarding Iraq. He came out, I think, in 2005, which it seems like, well, who wasn't out in 2005? But very few were, actually. None in the Republican Party. I think none as late as 2007, frankly, and he was against the surge. He supposedly was involved in drafting a resolution for President Bush authorizing him to invade Iraq that was more restrictive than the one that ultimately passed. Because he got head off, I think, was it by Joe Lieberman? I'm not 100% sure, but
Sounds right.
But all that aside, and I frankly don't have any sense of whether or not this guy has the capacity to manage the Pentagon. And frankly, there was a story out about apparently at the Obama Hanukkah party.
that must have been fun. Did you go to that, Sam?
I didn't because last night I took Myla out to. I took Myla and Nikki to the Nutcracker as her big Hanukkah present.
Oh,
and so I had to pass up the White House Hanukkah party.
Well, but I heard that part of the entertainment was Jeff Sessions getting up and singing, "I Had a Little Dreidel, I Made It Out of Clay."
I can't confirm that. But what apparently did happen, according to Zeke Miller at BuzzFeed, is that that Republicans and Democrats, big Israeli supporters at the Hanukkah party, were complaining about Hegel. And that's almost enough for me to give him an endorsement at this point, because he's one of those
big Hanukkah party complaints on the Hegel front.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, again, it's like
they're trying to put their gelt where their mouth is, I guess. And I'm sorry.
You know, there's guys complaining about Hegel. There's gefilte spilling out everywhere.
I don't think you don't have gefilte fish for Hanukkah, do you?
No, no, I'm just being a stereotypical a-hole right now and throwing out any Jewish things I can think of. No, I can get away with that because I'm Jewish, haha. But again, it's like Hegel's not my problem, in terms of him personally, what he stands for, just as Dick Luger wouldn't be either, another one who has kind of stood up as a more of a realist, you know, in the Republican realm, and often against some of the crazier ones. It's more the fact that why do you need to go running to a Republican? I mean, certainly if you said to me, would you rather have Chuck Hagel there or Joe Lieberman, or Chuck Hagel or Ben Nelson, if you want to compare like Nebraskans, I would go with Chuck Hagel. But that's not the only options that are available, and therefore I don't get it. I mean, I do get it because I get Washington.
Right.
And I understand what's going on here. We need a big bipartisan fetish where we all slobber on each other and in our bipartisanshipness. And, you know, maybe in Obama's mind and his people's mind, that also will not only make it easier to confirm his choice, but also make the Republicans play nicer, which it won't, because nothing ever does.
No, it won't. But it will put them in a very awkward position when, if in the event that Hegel does get more aggressive in terms of, you know, I don't know, in terms of saying things like we should be negotiating with Hezbollah or with Hamas, it may make it easier to have that happen. I don't know. But it is a real problem, though, that we need to go to the Republican daddies on in these situations.
Yeah, it just exactly. It just perpetuates a stereotype and one that is entirely not true. And again, like I don't think that Bill Cohn under President Clinton was a bad guy. He was a relatively moderate, especially in those days, moderate, which means
right. It
wouldn't exist in the current, more of a Jim Jeffords kind of guy. So it's not that they've picked necessarily terrible people. It's just, again, I just don't know why you constantly have to go running the Republicans to place them in these positions when there are plenty of Democrats who have proven themselves to be more than worthy. And again, it's almost like you're picking the Republican exceptions. You're not picking the guys that really represent the mainstream of the Republican Party. And so in a way, it tells people, hey, there are sane Republicans in foreign policy. They are sane on this issue when they're not. You're picking like the 5 to 10% of them that aren't insane like the rest of them. You know, and so, I mean, Chuck Hagel, I mean, really all three, if you want to call it, all three legs of the GOP stool, I don't, of course, use that term as you would think, would support bombing Iran. The business guys love it because they'll make money off of it. The evangelical guys love it because, you know, the rapture and all. And the neocons love it because it'll bring democracy to Iran. They will flower after bombs land and plant fertilizer. So it's like there's really all – one of the things that all wings of the Republican Party is in favor of at this point, for the most part, you've got your Ron and Rand Paul types or whatever. But really most of them, war is a good thing. And so when you get an exception like Hegel, you pick him and then everybody's like, oh, see, Republicans are normal. No, they're not. They're crazy. And there's plenty of Democrats that aren't. So
I am less convinced of the political aspect of it because I would imagine that Chuck Hagel, if he does become Secretary of Defense, in 6 months you could interview 100 Americans and three would know A, his name or what party he's from. I mean, I think this is all beltway politics. This is all.
But that's the problem, Sam. Right. I don't mean to interrupt, but it perpetuates that in the beltway.
Right.
So, and that's what. So the people watching Morning Joe, all five of them. Seriously, the people out there, you know, who do read reporting coming out of Washington, whether it's the Washington Post or other outlets, what they end up doing is they end up seeing that, oh, you know, Chuck Hagel was picked and he's a Republican and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so why do you need to do that? I agree with you that sort of people aren't really who aren't really paying attention out there. But I do think whether it's on a conscious or subconscious level, it reinforces among our elite that only Republicans can do this.
Right.
And they take that message forward to the rest of the country. And that's just stupid.
Do you have any thoughts on Susan Rice, dropping out of the running for Secretary of State?
Well, I don't know if that was, you know, I suspect that the president asked her to do that, again, right, to throw a bone to Republicans, which there's no point ever throwing anything.
Yeah, think she also had fairly weak support on the left, to be honest.
She did, and that would have been, to me, an acceptable reason not to pick her.
Right.
If it had been because of the tar sands investments. It's been because her dad was the head of the Federal Reserve, and there are questions, although I think that's taking it a little too far.
Right.
But there are questions on her personally and the tar sands investments, and but should she have been given the opportunity to speak to those? Maybe.
Right.
I guess I've got a problem. I've got no problem with real, legitimate questions being. And not only do I have a problem with it, I think it's the right thing to do, and I understand why people questioned her. But it doesn't seem to me, and I could be wrong, certainly doesn't seem to me that that's what caused her to not be picked. It seems like it was the hissy fit by, you know, the Soraya Market rug shopping gang of Lindsey Graham and
yes,
John McCain. And that, you know, and their new third bosom buddy, Kelly Ayotte, however you pronounce her dumb name, who's taken the place of Joe Lieberman because they needed to have another, you know, non-Christian white guy. But, like, we lost the Jew. Let's find ourselves a skirt.
Yeah, exactly.
And
all right.
So
well,
they did.
This obviously is going to develop for a while. There's a lot of cabinet positions that are going to be filled over the coming weeks. And frankly, I'd also love to see some activity on judicial nominations. We'll see about that. I wanted to talk to you briefly, and you know, hopefully over the coming days, I'm going to talk to Bill Black. But this HSBC story has been just driving me nuts.
Me too.
It is just unbelievable.
When you start getting people to question sort of the very, I guess the only positive is that he just pointed out about Chuck Hagel, not enough people pay attention. Because frankly, if everybody paid attention and saw this, like I think there'd be armed revolution tomorrow.
We have a major bank in this country which has been involved in all sorts of – this is not their first – they have basically been found guilty – well, they haven't gone to trial, of course.
Well, they'll never be found guilty because they're too big to jail.
Right. The Justice Department – and they admitted that they were involved in laundering hundreds of millions of dollars, at the very least, in Mexican drug cartel money.
And Al-Qaeda money.
They've been involved in laundering Al-Qaeda money. They've been involved in laundering money to Iran.
Mobsters. Really, you have to try hard to find an evil group that exists in this world they haven't laundered money for.
Now
you have to look far and wide.
They settled with HSBC for $1.9 billion, which is basically like, you know, the functional equivalent of, I've got a check and I don't have a bank account, so I'm going to a check cashing store and I'm gonna get my money, but I'm gonna have to pay a fee. This is basically it. They're charged a slightly, they have a little bit less of a profit margin on that money laundering that they did. And they walk away scot-free. And what I wanna know is, okay, you literally have the Justice Department. You literally have the Justice Department saying, in deciding not to prosecute now, Lanny Brewer, who I think is another one of those guys who was brought over from Covington and something, some white shoe law firm in Washington, D.C., with Holder, saying the Justice Department considered the collateral consequences, including the possible effects on the worldwide financial system, if HSBC's ability to operate was ruined by criminal conviction. If you prosecute one of the largest banks in the world, you do risk that people will lose jobs.
Other financial institutions
and other parties will leave the bank, and there'll be some kind of event in the world economy? He asks. This is very targeted, very real resolute. It's a fiction to say it's a slap on the wrist. Here's what I want to know. there were specific individuals who actually laundered this money. And if it wasn't policy of HSBC, like it would be, let's say, if you were a criminal syndicate, the mafia or something, then how about convicting these individuals? They are all told on day one, there's a whole set of ethics. They are told that you got to go through this training, that if you launder money for drug pins or launder money, period, for anybody, knowingly, you're going to go to jail. Why don't we convict the individuals who are involved in this?
I don't know. You just, I shouldn't say I don't know. You just clearly said it. I mean, apparently there's a belief up top that things will come crashing down. Now, obviously, you have to decide whether you believe that at face value. I'm not sure I do. I think in the end, as usual, the elites, there are connections. There are relationships.
And there's just a perception that these are not real laws. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. Like, there's no real violation here. The real violation is when the guy smokes a joint on the street and, or has a dime bag or whatever it is.
You know how many people, like, we have serving for law, you know, for behavior of choice? You know, I mean, I can't even answer that question because I don't know. But too many people whose lives we're wasting and productivity we're wasting and money we're spending, and obviously that doesn't get to the point of the immorality and the disgustingness of actually doing it, but people that are sitting in prisons places because, you know, they unknowingly carried like a dime bag for their girlfriend or boyfriend in a package, or they did whatever, and they're sitting there just there with their lives being ruined. Not to mention people that knowingly sold a small amount of pot or smoked it, or let's get more serious than that, snorted some cocaine or sold it or whatever, and they're sitting there basically with their lives destroyed for not doing anything any worse, by the way, than Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and frankly, most of our recent leaders of the last 20 years and probably many before that never admitted it did. And their lives are destroyed by this. And again, when we sit here and having these conversations, and we'll get to this, I'm sure, about the fiscal cliff slash crossroad slash curb, whatever you'd like to call it, this is actually one way that we waste enormous amounts of money in lost productivity and increased criminal activity and housing people and just bogging down our criminal justice system and health care costs from all the things of rape and things that go on in prison and just go on and on and on and on. And it makes no sense on a moral level. It makes no sense on a political level. It makes no sense on an economic level unless you're lobbying for the private prison corporations or the pharmaceutical companies or others who benefit from this, because otherwise it is entirely increasingly and ridiculously stupid for everybody else. Sorry, this one works me up kind of like guns and other things too.
I wonder what crime could you commit if you do it with a bunch of people at the bank, right? Obviously, if you do this individually on your own time. But if you wanted to, say, like, get together with a bunch of buddies at a bank and murder someone, and you did it with, like, within the context of the bank, let's say you killed them by dropping a safe on their head, do you think then you could be convicted? If the CEO of HSBC the president of that bank decided, like, they were going to kill somebody, we're going to drop a safe on their head in my office, would we just simply, you can't do that. You can't arrest them because somebody could lose their job, it's just absurd.
That's what I mean. In fact, a smart gentleman such as yourself, Sam, who is funny on top of that, I think I could see you doing a viral video acting out some of these scenarios, perhaps, because there are interesting questions as to what it is you could do at a bank that could get you arrested.
Folks, this is why Libertas LLC, so the marketing ideas just pour out of you.
See what I'm saying, folks? This is the kind of PR and marketing advice you get when you yep, I'm pimping myself out, boys and girls.
There you go. At Cliff Schechter, ladies and gentlemen. At Cliff Schechter. All right, well, let's go. I'm apoplectic.
Sam, and it's angering, and I've sat here and I've mostly joked about it because it's so ridiculous, but talked about the ridiculousness of the fact that we lock up individuals, whatever. But again, it's so important, again, that if more, you know, and it may be our only saving grace, ironically, in this situation, and a lot of people don't know that this is going on. Because if you sit there and you look at the laws of this country, like, it's impossible to believe that we're really, truly a democracy anymore. If you look at who gets away with what they get away with, if you look at, you know, what happened in 2008 with the economy crashing because of some guys playing around with derivatives they didn't understand or didn't care to understand and betting against their own customers, and you look at this, and you look at torture by the Bush administration, and warrantless, you know, eavesdropping and the whole rest of it, and all the just the long list of things that people get away with, and then you read the stuff that people get in trouble for. It's just
I had a conversation today with a friend of mine who is a Republican type of business type of perspective, and the. You know, I get that people resent the fact that, you know, Congress, they don't have to be subject to Obamacare. Yes. Okay. Whatever. And they get paid too much, or they get a pension after they leave the House or whatever. Okay. So we're, you know, $5 million annually, whatever the heck it is that we spend on this. But the idea that, well, you know, it's a bank, so, you know, they launder money. I'm sure it was a mistake and whatever. I mean, the sense of outrage that can be ginned up against stuff that is sort of symbolic or, you know, in some but not over something. It just drives me.
No, I know. You just don't know where to go at a certain point because it's so against everything you were brought up to believe in and about what was, you know, great you were taught about this country when you were in school. And it's just that whole notion of equality and fair play and laws of, you know, that these are laws not of men, right. You know, that apply equally to everybody. And these kinds of cases just so destroy that and so blow it out of it. I mean, it has a corrosive effect, I really do think, on our democracy. Because, again, when people like Chris Hayes in his book ask why we don't get better elites, this is why we don't get better elites.
Yeah.
Because these guys who didn't go to prison, I promise you, now with a clean slate, will find their way towards serving in government in about 10 or 20 years, if not less.
Right. Or frankly, you know, look, the message is out there. If you, you know, this is simply a calculation of numbers. In other words, if you can make more than you will lose on a potential fine, then this is a smart business move. It's no longer a question of
nothing, right?
Yeah,
like, I don't have the number in front of me, but compared to what they made,
you frog march somebody out of there, it's going to change that calculation. So, you know, aside from the sort of moral outrage, it actually does have impact on the functioning of these banks, whether it's money laundering, whether it's mortgage fraud, whether it's derivative fraud, whether it's you know, lying to Congress, whatever it is.
Well, look, I mean, the clearest example that I can come up with, I can think of off the top of my head, is all of those guys who we know engaged in crimes against you know, our Constitution, to be honest, in the Iran-Contra scandal.
Right.
They all came back and served. I mean, a lot of them did. Elliot Abrams and the rest of them, they came back and they served under Bush.
Yeah,
because,
well, Cheney.
Because they'd never been convicted. You know, in the end, they either had their convictions overturned or they didn't do court, they didn't do jail time, and therefore they were completely had a clean slate to come back.
Oh yes, and well, of course, we also see this with the you know, you could talk about moral hazard from a legal standpoint, and also from a bailout standpoint. We've gone over this ad nauseum, but if we want to get more nauseous, let's talk about the fiscal cliff. Although, actually, I got to say, this is I think that in terms of what we're hearing now. I am cautiously optimistic as to what's going to happen over the next couple of months. But one thing is clear. Well, there's two things. Let's start with Medicare, because yesterday
– because nobody really needs that till they're 67 and, you know.
No, well, of course not, dude. You know, the best years to not have health insurance, usually 65 to 66.
No, the quality, exactly. If you can find, like, let's say 2 years where you're retired so that your corporate, your business, which obviously is providing for most people, is no longer providing it, but you don't have it, and you're out of everybody one through age of 67, you're least likely to be healthy, that would seem the best time to be out there trying to,
well,
get healthcare.
Well, the upshot of that is, though, it's going to cost you so much money to get that insurance that it's going to seriously make you contemplate whether or not you should not retire and try and build up your Social Security credits. So it's going to keep. It's going
to
keep.
There's a good upshot to that too.
All right, but with this said, with this said, with this said, Dick Durbin came out.
Well,
Nancy Pelosi came out this week and said, "Don't even think about raising the Medicare age. We are not throwing America's seniors over the cliff to give a tax cut to the wealthiest people in America." Now, I don't like the idea that she's still tying it into the wealthiest people tax cut because.
And again, over a cliff. She's got to keep using my name.
Right.
Got him.
But we all, it's quite clear what's going to happen now. The Bush tax cuts are going to expire. I don't think there's going to be a preemptive deal before then. I think Boehner is just stringing this out because he's afraid he's going to lose his speakership. He'll make a deal afterwards, which will be to pass a middle-class tax cut. That'll be the end of it. They'll try and finagle some other sort of maybe downgrade on the capital gains tax, a cut on that, or they'll get something else to sweeten the pot for him. But that's what we're going to see, I think, after January 1st.
Right.
The question is going into the debt ceiling negotiations and the sequester negotiation, what happens? Now, Dick Durbin came out and said, this is what he said. "My understanding is that it's no longer one of the items being considered by the White House." This is in reference to the raising of the Medicare eligibility age. Now, this is the guy who generally says these things. If the White House wants it to get out through the Senate.
He's their voice there, yes. He's been an Obama ally from the very beginning.
Now, there's some hedge there, right? It's my understanding,
That
this is no longer one of the items.
Did you say in that quote, I had read somewhere, although it may have been misquoted, that he said it's no longer on
yes.
the table?
Yes, that was the way it was initially. Yes, it was. That was the way it was initially reported. But then when there was clarification, he said it's my understanding.
Okay.
So it's not, it's one of those things that like, you know what? I guess I misunderstood. that's how you get out of there. It's not, I was wrong. It's just that I was misled or whatever it was. It gives him some wiggle room, but it's looking more and more like the pushback. And there was big pushback against this, from, across the board, including Center for American Progress, which led me to believe that there were different factions within the White House that were against
exactly
or
right.
for this. And when you see
– there was establishment left pushback. It wasn't just sort of, you know, professional left, dirty types like you and me.
That's right. It wasn't just the dirty frickin' hippies.
Right. There was like Neera Tanden going on Chris Hayes' show last week. It was people like that who are on, you know, who are sort of inside the establishment, as you pointed out, Nancy Pelosi. They were coming out and pushing back against
this. If it's a done deal, those people from Center for American Progress do not come out and put themselves at odds with the White House.
No, they get on board.
And
what they do at that point.
If the White House had already agreed, there was a consensus coming from the administration that we want to start to advocate this, you would not see Center for American Progress come out that strongly. But what it was a jump ball, I think, at the White House. And shooting down this trial balloon, and you need to shoot this balloon until not just it's on the ground, you need to shoot it until it's no longer recognizable as a balloon, that you need to bring, like you need to check its dental records to see if it's a balloon.
Right. I just think it's important to sort of say, you know, and that's why from the beginning, I think there are people that try to be analytical about it and understand, you know, where the motivations are coming from. There are people who thought, oh, my God, we're screwed completely. And this whole time I've had to look at things and sort of be, as you put it before, cautiously optimistic but not unrealistic about things. Not pessimistic, not optimistic, just sort of trying to – and you know, this is where I think people deserve a lot of credit, people listening to this show and others out there, because, again, you may have had establishment, you know, liberal types come out against it, but I think there was so much pushback – from
so
lots
of
people.
So fast and so hard. And yep. It was also the we have to also acknowledge that it's such bad policy that nobody could advocate it with a straight face.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, when people pointed out the flaws in it, pointed out how silly it was, pointed out that
it costs
a lot of the
money.
Arguments being made didn't make any sense. And when people do that, and a lot of people that whether you're calling your Congress member or whether you've got access to a place to write where people see it or argue or whatever, you know, it all adds up. It all creates this sort of zeitgeist, and I think it's kind of like what happened about a month before, or less than that, a little bit less than that, with Social Security. People yep. came out so hard against that idea. And I, you know, I think we all need to. I just wrote a piece that I contribute to the Arena and Politico. It'll come out this weekend. Kind of my feelings about all of it, which is, you know, and I think everybody needs to get behind this, which is essentially, in very uncompromising terms, to point out who won this election, how they won this election, what poll numbers say, what good policy is, what's moral, and say, get the hell away from cutting any social safety net spending whatsoever.
And I would add to that mix.
Get away from it.
I would add to that mix. Maybe too late for you to do an edit on this, buddy, but I would also add to that mix. It is House members who are going to be running next. It's Democratic House members who are on the docket, and their election is up next. They got no excuses not to push back on this.
Well, I didn't include that in terms of Yule, and I should have.
I guess it'll be very hard to not be attacked
when you cut these programs because of how popular they were. But I also put out there, you know, kind of in the end, saying that I will support quite vocally, and I will hope many others who have other platforms will join me, a primary against any Democrat in the Senate or the House who supports any cuts to any of those programs.
I will give one of these for that. That's right. I mean, I will blow my shofar for that.
That was very nice. Was that the shofar?
Oh, yeah.
That's very nice. Because in 2 years, all these guys in the House have to get reelected.
Right.
And there's a bunch of people on the sort of wishy-washy Senate list that need to get reelected in 2 years. And don't think for a second that the politics of this situation, looking at poll numbers, didn't affect Mark Begich, for example, in Alaska, who's going to have to win a tough reelection coming out so strongly for Social Security. So, you know, you need to look at other people like that and just let them know that this is a different situation. You know, we held the president as accountable as we could and then realized there are too many things a president can do. And so those of us who were critical at times, and that includes you and me, who are critical often, still got on board and supported President Obama. But in the end, you know, the what a senator and what a House member can do is a very different story. And I have no hesitancy whatsoever in calling out in the most harsh terms anyone that will sit there and say there needs to be shared sacrifice and will trade people's ability to, I don't know, eat and buy, get medicine and frankly live versus somebody giving up their $6,000
shower
curtain.
But you know what? Even the whole concept, we just do a couple more minutes because we're running a little bit late here, but even the whole concept of shared sacrifice, I'm sorry, it's just a bunch of crock. There is no if your net worth is $10 million or more, I don't know, $5 million. I don't know what the number is. But when we're talking about the top 1% who are looking at these taxes, there is no such thing as sacrifice. In other words, there's no number that would ever be discussed in public in this country. No number of taxes, no marginal tax rate, nothing. Nothing that would qualify as being a sacrifice. You lose $300,000 a year.
The whole concept of shared sacrifice in this piece is just crap to begin with. It's silliness. And the truth is while the Obama has negotiated much better, obviously, you know, when we're comparing to what he did the first term, it's not a huge bar to clear, but he's done a lot better and been a lot tougher in what his language and rhetoric. And so have Democrats in general who play offense, which they failed to do the first term, which is you do what Mark Begich did, or you did what others do. You propose bills that will strengthen Social Security or double Social Security or things like that. I still think somebody should have proposed, you know, that the White House should have proposed lowering the Medicare age to 40.
Right.
And adding a top tax rate for above $1 million a year, an additional tax rate. I would call it the Reagan first term tax. Get it back to 50%, which is where it was during Reagan's first term. I would have done stuff like that. So they'd have to meet you in an entirely different place. But I guess baby steps, right? Compared to where we were before, this has been much better.
All right, Cliff, we got to go, but I got to say, I just got reports. There are reports of we were going to talk about this. We don't have the time. There's really nothing that we're going to say about this. We'll talk about
this. The shooting in Connecticut?
My understanding now is they're reporting there could be up to 12 students who have been shot. There could be even even twice that amount dead. Now, I don't know. These are unconfirmed reports. I'm just seeing these coming across.
I mean, it's heartbreaking. I have kids in school. You do. This is on top of what happened in the Portland Mall the other night. The NRA is a domestic terrorist group. That is what they are. They are joined at the hip with militias and that militia mentality that thinks our government is evil, and they do it to make money. And don't make any mistake about this. They are endangering your family because I'll just say quickly, I know you've got to go, but a common friend of both of ours, I think, said it the other day as well as possible, Cenk Uygur on his show, which is if this was being done by members of Al-Qaeda or any terrorist organization that were non-white and foreign, if there was a shooting at a mall one night and a congresswoman was shot the next, at a different point, all within a year of each other, by the way, and somebody went to a movie theater, an Al-Qaeda member started shooting people up and whatever. You know how quickly we would take care of this? Right. And this is no different. If people think, only those terrorist attacks go on over there, well, those places you're looking at, Europe or wherever, where you think of that, they don't have this stuff happen. You could be next any day. I mean, I don't mean to sort of sow fear out there, but that's the truth of the matter. We're all more vulnerable, and we are because of a lobby for terrorists, for domestic terrorists. And so keep that in mind when you're calling your Congress members, too, because there are laws out there and things that would at least help the situation.
I mean, it has the same effect, right? I mean, it has the same effect. I mean, I see a shooting in a Connecticut school. My daughter came home the other day, 7 years old, told me about her lockdown drill. And, all I can think is I hope they did it right. I mean, that's the implications of terrorism, right? I mean, nobody believes that terrorists are going to – there's an existential threat to the United States. Terrorists are not going to be able to destroy the entire country. What it is that they're going to force the American people to function in a certain way, and this is having this has the same impact. I mean, it's just horrible.
Basically, somebody put some crap in their shoe or their underwear, and we now, to get on an airplane, have to go through basically being groped and almost like a porn movie. Okay, but you've got people who are buying guns at gun shows. 40% of the guns at those gun shows sold are not regulated, have no background checks attached to them. And we know members of Hezbollah and the Columbine killers and the guy that shot up the Pentagon and others have used this loophole to do this. And in Michigan the other day, by the way, one of the few states that has – 18 states that has closed their own statewide gun show loophole. So everybody who sells at gun shows has to conduct a background check. It was even – the NRA tried to push them undoing – closing that loophole to reopen it. Even that crazy legislature in Michigan and governor who've been doing what they've been doing there wouldn't pass that bill. So that should give you an idea of what kind of insanity we're talking about on the part of the NRA right now and the people that support them. Right. I mean, this has to be stopped. I think this is a threat to democracy in a lot of ways. And I think it's heartbreaking and it's unbelievable that we would allow it to continue. And for people who say, oh, there's so many guns out there. You know what guns need? They need bullets.
Right.
Because very easily, you can regulate guns, how guns are sold. You can also regulate how bullets are sold, because the guy in Aurora bought 6,000 bullets online within a week, and nobody thought that there was anything unusual about that.
All right.
It's
well,
just terrible.
Cliff,
but I'm
just
sorry,
a horrible story.
Hey,
horrible way to end the segment. But we'll talk about it more next week when we have more information.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, buddy.
All right.
As
Cliff,
always.
Thanks. All right. Let's take a break here and a different song. Then we'll come back with the songs of the week, and our special guest will be joining us in just several minutes.
Yeah, like I'm gonna ignite. I saw them stars go off.
We are back on the Majority Report. Sam Cedar. Okay, we got a song from Jimmy Reefer Cake apropos to this tragedy that's happening in Connecticut. But let's listen to this Jimmy Reefer Cake song.
I thought Costas was the type to do that standard corporate dance. Until the other Sunday night, Bobby put on his big boy pants. That's right. Talk about Javon Belcher murder suicide. Saying if he didn't have a gun, nobody probably would have died. You know, football is dangerous and it puts stress on your head. But if he didn't have a gun, no one would have ended up dead. It's the truth. The NRA and the radio jocks are calling for Costas's head. They probably never had to deal with a loved one ending up dead from a gunshot.
Well, I mean, apropos song, and sadly too apropos, by Jimmy Reefer Cake. I want to change things up here a little bit and go with this this story, Michigan. In Michigan this past week. I mean, I you know, there's nothing to say at this point. And I don't know what it's going to take in terms of bringing about more pressure. I mean, I don't know at what level, at what point, how many times a week do we need this to happen before there's any action by our government? How many more of these horrible, senseless tragedies are we going to need before some of our congresspeople, our president, some of our senators actually have the ability to stand up to the NRA, which doesn't even seem to have that much electoral strength anymore? And if Fox wants to maintain this world where President Obama is coming for your guns and that the Second Amendment is going to be stripped away from us and it's a one world domination by the UN and we're not going to be, you know, have Wolverines. We're not going to be able to deal with Red Dawn when it comes, when the, you know, the North Koreans come to invade this country. What's it going to take? Are we going to need like, it's Wednesday, so we have another 20 kids killed. It's Friday. What are you going to do? That's not the day to go to the movies, because that's when we're going to have 15 people killed somewhere. It's ridiculous. I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, it's just appalling. Let's take another musical break here, and then we'll come back, a different song, and then we'll come back with I'll do this Michigan story, and then we'll bring in our guest. Do you not have another song queued up?
Hold on. It seems like my computer just froze.
We'll be right back. your mind.
All right, we are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. All right, I want to just cover this story before we bring in Janine. You are all aware that the lunatics, the Republicans who are controlling the state legislature and the governor's house in Michigan, apparently not only did they pass in a lame duck session because they knew they couldn't pass this in 3 weeks from now, a right to work law, they are now going back for a second bite at the apple on the emergency, a state of emergency law where they can take over essentially the kick out the elected officials of different cities in Michigan. Now, this was something that was rejected by Michigan voters by referendum. And even after it was rejected by Michigan voters on referendum, the Republicans in the state Senate and House have now passed it, and it's going to Governor Snyder's desk to be signed. Meanwhile, here's a story out of the right to work law. You know, this basically says, the so-called right to work law basically says that unions, when they negotiate on behalf of workers who don't want to join the union, now they can't even, as a condition for the employment of these workers, not unlike the conditions of employment for these workers under employers, who say, like, hey, you got to show up at 9 in the morning, sorry. They can't get an agency fee for negotiating better rates, better benefits for these workers. So there was a Republican, Lisa Pothmuth Lyons, who is apparently the one of the leadership members of the Republican House. She offered an amendment after voting for this so-called right to work bill. And this amendment, well, wait a second. We have her talking about how great this bill is, right? Let's hear how she is, how proud she is, even though her husband works in a union, how proud she is that she's been able to vote for this legislation. And let's listen to her reasoning.
I'm convinced of the value of our union, and I'm here to tell you that we will continue to pay union dues to the union that has represented Brad with such unequaled advocacy. Today, we are a proud union family. Tomorrow, we will be a proud union family by choice. The simple truth is this bill is about the union's freedom to make its case to its potential members. And
okay, so that's her espousing the benefits of this bill. It's going to strengthen unions because it's going to make them free, and they're going to sell it. And if people want to support the union, fine. If they don't and just want to get the union benefits, well, that's okay too, according to her. It's not going to hurt unions. This is not going to crush unions in any way. This is about, she's proud now to be a union member of choice. In fact, she said at one point, this is the day Michigan freed its workers. And then apparently she turned around and offered a specific amendment that not just firefighters and police unions should be exempt from this bill, but also correctional officers. And she knows that they should be exempt from this bill because her husband is a correctional officer. When we talk about the brave women in police and fire, we need to remember people in corrections. These guys work in conditions that we can't even begin to imagine. Well, but think of how much more benefit he has now that he's a member of a union, but a free choice member. Is it possible that Lynn Posthumous Lyons or Lisa Posthumous Lyons realizes that this is going to destroy the corrections officer union in the same way it will destroy the other unions, and then she's going to be SOL. I don't know if they give health insurance to members of the Michigan legislature, but I know they do for corrections officers, and that's a function of their union. But if union goes bye-bye, what's Lisa going to do? This is a question of philosophy, she said. Unbelievable, unparalleled hypocrisy. So kudos to you, Lisa Lyons, for at least having the intestinal fortitude for getting up and doing this in public.
Firefighters, police officers, and corrections officers. Just flows so well.
What about this? How about firefighters, police officers, and husbands and wives of Republican legislatures, depending on what their union is? Unbelievable. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, a very special guest will be joining me in studio. It's going to feel a little bit like old times.
Like old times, having you to talk with.
And it's still a thrill just to have my arms around you.
Still the thrill that it was the day I found you. Seems like old times. Dinner dates and flowers, seems like old times. Staying up for hours,
making dreams come true, doing things we used to do.
Seems like old times, being here with you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it seems like old times. It has literally been years, ladies and gentlemen, since I've been in a studio doing radio with the next guest on the show today. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome to the program Janine Garofalo. All right, we are back. Okay, now let me try that again. I'd like to welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in I don't know how many years, in studio doing radio with Janine Garofalo. Janine, would you step over closer to me, please?
I'll scooch over closer. Can you hear me? I can't hear myself in my ears, but that's okay if I can't hear me, as long as you guys can hear me. Now, can the audience hear us? That is also, unless we're just doing, is this just for us?
That's it? I've got a confession to make. I can't hear Janine in my my ears either. Are we sending her out? Well, you know, that might...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. Well,
okay.
You can get another cord.
Well,
right,
I'm sure somebody will let you know if they can't hear us by tweeting. But if they can't hear us, ask the question.
They will let us know.
Okay, so maybe somebody from the audience.
Talk in your mic if you're going to talk on air. No? All right.
Did you ever get that song? That's okay if you didn't.
I have it, yes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, because that would be something would be fun to play after...
Yes. All right. Well, Janine.
Yes, Samuel.
Now, I understand that we're going to talk about. There's a bunch of stuff that we have to talk about.
Like the way you said, that's a load of crock. I miss those days when you would mix your...
Metaphors?
Metaphors, or however you call it, malapropisms. And that's a load of crock.
Well, I'm not the only person who says malapropism. What do you mean a load of crock?
That's a crock or that's a load of baloney. Like that's a crock.
Load of baloney?
Or you could say that, like that's a bunch of baloney. But you were saying that's a load of crock. But the phrase is that's a crock of shit or like that's a crock of bull. You know what I mean? When somebody's
all right, we're going to have to.
I mean, we don't need to really discuss this. Am I? Did I just say something?
No, that's all right, because we're not we rebroadcast on radio, so we have time to edit.
Okay, so you can edit that. I am sorry. I don't like to work blue. You know that.
Yes. No, I know that. You're very pristine.
I just feel it's ill-mannered to work blue.
Right. No, of course not.
Of course it is.
So, of course. Well, what is a crock of baloney?
No, I'm saying that.
No, I know people say a crock.
You could
of,
say,
what did
no,
I say? A load
wait,
of crock.
The reason I said baloney the first time is no, you said that's a load of crock. Now the reason I said baloney the first time is because I didn't want to swear. I would have said that's a crock of sh.
Okay, that's a crock. Right. Okay, so I load a crock.
No,
a load of crock of.
No, it's not a load of crock. A crock is a container, like a thing that would contain the load of dishonest fecal matter.
Right. Okay. So a crock. Yes.
It's a crock of, you know what, if you want to say that. It's not a load of crock. Now, if you wanted to go that route, you could say that's a load of crocks, meaning there was a giant pile of
what if I
containers.
Said that's a load of toilet stuff? I think
that's
it would
fine.
Be...
That would be fine.
So I could have said it's a load of
you're hung up on the fecal matter. That's not the issue. That's a side issue. Sam, let's not get bogged down in your lack of understanding of what I'm saying because you don't fully listen. Let's move on to what's important for your listeners.
Hey, what happened?
Whoop! I saw him in the street the other day.
Oh, you did? Well, no, I was just doing that to annoy you.
Fred
that was
no, I always loved the soundboard.
Oh, you?
I always
loved. That's not true. At all.
There were some the fake laughing that made me laugh very hard when you had the. I love the shofar.
Uh huh.
No, I've always enjoyed. Hey, what happened?
No.
Yeah. And my favorite of mine on my soundboard was "You Stutter and Prick Ya" from Goodfellas, for obvious reasons, because of Sam. Which, by the way, the King's Speech, if you haven't seen it, is wonderful.
What? No, I don't even know what that is.
It's a movie about the King of England.
I don't have
not right now. It's played by Colin Firth. The King during World War II, I believe.
What are you
I
doing?
I want to say George. Is it George? I'm so sorry. But he had a terrible stutter, Sam. And then it was taken care of.
I literally tweeted out.
So you could listen to him on the wireless without any stuttering.
I literally tweeted out today, before you were coming on, mm-hmm. that people should anticipate a lot of stuttering on my behalf.
But you haven't. I haven't heard you stuttering.
No,
this
I'm
whole
sure.
Time. I've
I'm
been
sure
sitting
it'll take a couple of minutes
wonderfully,
for it to kick in.
Wonderfully fragrant space.
Yeah. Now, Janine has a couple of comments to make about our studio.
No. The studio, I love. I'm fine with it. That's not the issue. It's just that
it's amazing.
It's
this place
it's
makes
look
makes
no
Air America look impressive.
It's actually no. This is nice. This is actually there's nothing wrong with this. That's it's not aesthetics. It's an olfactory issue. it's so contained and close. It's close in here, as they say.
There's a lot of
because there's no air.
Yeah.
There's no air.
There's no air in here.
It's, I don't know how you fellas do it.
Well,
I actually go take a run pretty much every day right after work.
You've got, it's just, can you never open the windows? I mean, after each show at least?
I don't even notice it. I don't even notice it anymore.
Well, you're young. That's the thing. That's the thing with young people.
That is the thing with young people.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk some stories, but you did have an announcement, is that right?
I did have an announcement. Are you sitting down, Sam?
Well, no, wait a second.
You are sitting down.
I
that's
am
right.
sitting down.
Did you want to stand for it?
No.
You might want to get up for this.
No, I don't think
this
so.
This is a biggie.
I know it's
this
a biggie.
This is a biggie.
I've heard.
Is the music ready? Because this is, if it is, if it isn't, I shall proceed.
Oh, wait a second. We could also just do this here.
No, I wanted special music.
Oh, how about this? Okay, then.
No. He has...
Wasn't there also something you wanted to play from an old Air America?
Hold on.
Sam?
Hold on, I'm playing the music.
You do not want German military music for this. What are we, Hessians? Stop. Stop it.
Isn't there an old clip you wanted to play first or after?
Well, oh, my God, after. Let's get it together. After. Let's get it together.
No
in
kidding,
some fashion.
Right? We were barely
just,
able
it
to
it is just
this.
Like old times. The two of us together, just... Here it is.
Why did you want this
music? It's because it's fun. I love Japanese pop music.
All right.
This is Twiggy Twiggy by the Pizzicato 5, which you can get on the What's Up Matador compilation from 1997. which I've been listening to
a lot. Have you read the Yola Tango book yet?
I did, Big Day Coming. Very
good. I haven't seen it. Ever.
And they're doing their Hanukkah shows.
I know.
Sweet.
I know.
Now, here's the announcement, Sam. Now, you sure you want to stay sitting?
I am.
And then after I make the announcement, blast that music again, because he's going to need a minute.
Yeah.
You, Sam, are having a child.
Well, that is.
Keep the music up for the rest of the tour. And it's a boy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. There we go.
And I brought this.
That's right, Janine. You're correct. Okay, let's cut that music.
Now the gifts. I unfortunately did not anticipate the gender. I bought gifts for Myla and for the upcoming child, assuming it was going to be a girl.
Really?
I don't know why I did that.
You didn't
but
think
I.
You didn't think like they said about Obama that I had it in me to have a boy.
Oh that no, I am not. I am not. I am not casting aspersions on your testosterone, although at your age you do have low T. I saw that on television.
No, believe me, I have low T. I got low just about everything.
So, but there's things you can take to up your T, but just you can't get near your children again, or early puberty might happen.
Yes,
that's the side effect we can live with,
right? No, I don't mind going into early puberty again.
Not you, the child.
Oh, right. Yes.
You don't need to worry about puberty.
People are going to say, why did you have Janine bring it? Well, were you? Did it even occur to you to ask why I wanted you to make the announcement?
I knew why.
Why?
Because we did it last time when we announced the birth of Myla.
That's right. And and it seemed to work out fairly well.
I can't believe, listening to her voice now on the air, she is a
full-on person.
A full-on articulate. Now that's the craziest. Well, Mickey's articulate, but she is no longer like, because I can picture her going, "What are you talking about?" on the sound effect thing, and then when you were interviewing her the other day, she's just
she's
a young lady.
She's a kid. She's a full on person. Now this is what happened. Let me tell you. Wait a second. Before you give me those.
No. Okay.
Before you give me those.
Yes.
At 3 a.m. I can't sleep. I Google Myla's name to. Because I'm paranoid. I don't want, I want to make sure, I want to see, do people know her social security number, all this type of stuff. I mean, there's some neuroses. So apparently on my Wikipedia page, it said that you made the announcement. And this, I checked this out, I don't know, about a year ago or 6 months, I can't remember when it was.
Hi, my name's Janine Garofalo.
Hold on, pause it. It said that you made the announcement. And so what I did is, I've assumed, like, as soon as we got pregnant, Nikki and I mean, she got pregnant.
But it takes two to tango. Am I right? Am I right, gentlemen?
Theoretically, right? I didn't even tango that much. I just basically got asked to dance and then almost sat immediately right down. But be that as it may, Janine. So I assumed, I said, to Nikki, Janine announced it on the show, and I've lived with that belief for months.
I don't believe I announced it.
I thought you announced it because that's what it said on my Wikipedia page.
And that's the gospel. Wikipedia? Trust Wikipedia.
Why would someone write that?
What in the world are we to look to as our Rosetta Stone, if you will?
Well, I mean,
Wikipedia
also,
isn't going to give us the truth. What, Ron Christie?
Well, coincidentally, I also ordered Rosetta Stone. And
I used it to learn Australian. Would you like to hear what
did
I learned?
Did it work?
Rosetta?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Natalie Portman. Hang on, there's more. Michael Bublé. I learned that from Rosetta Stone.
Natalie Portman.
I say Michael Bublé 13 times.
That's
Rosetta Stone. And also I learned Italian with Rosetta Stone. Ready? James Franco. James Franco from the Freaks and the Geeks.
I gotta say,
James Franco. It's really good. It works.
I gotta say, I think the Australian tapes sound like they might
and
be a little
Rosetta
better
Stone
than the Italian.
For you. It works.
The Australian, but be that as it may.
Be that as it may.
Let's play that clip from that announcement. This was when was this?
March 9th, 2005.
March 9th, 2005.
Oh, those were the days.
Oh, my God. That was 7 years ago.
The heady days of 2005.
Unbelievable.
Hi, my name's Janine Garofalo, and I'm here with Sam Cedar, who's a doofus. But he has an announcement. He has an announcement. Sam?
You know, originally when I said I had an announcement for after the show.
Oh, I thought you meant at the end of the show.
I meant really after the show.
So you don't want to announce it?
Well, I mean, it's going to come out sooner or later.
I'll say. Are you going to say?
Well, I'm an expectant father.
Yay! Sam's going to have a baby.
The baby showed up right
then. And it's going to be a girl.
All right.
Sam Cedar.
Honey, shut up!
Is going to have a baby, Isaac.
Keep the kid quiet!
And I said my two favorite names are, one is Mina.
Mina,
as in Mina Harker and Dracula. We have all become God's madmen. That's my Anthony Hopkins impression. And two, Jasminda from Bend It Like Beckham.
Jasminda?
Jasminda, the lead Indian girl.
Some of the names that we're considering are Bend It Like Beckham. One of the other names we're thinking of calling it, just when she's a baby, Ken Melman.
Actually, that's not true. You were thinking of, we were talking before, you said Esther, Rachel, and Hadassah.
And you know what? You actually went on, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember what name that you really were like?
Neshama.
Yes.
I still love that name. It's Hebrew for soul. I am not of any.
I can tell you, I am not going to name like this kid Neshama either.
Just don't do Riley or Skyler. That kills me along with
Nikki.
Madison. I know it's a boy, and don't go biblical. Caleb, Noah.
I've got.
Joe Lieberman's a good name. That's available.
I'm thinking about Joe Lieberman.
Cedar.
Yeah, Joe Lieberman.
What about Milo?
Milo. That's
hey.
Exactly. That's what I.
What about
Fiscal
Cliff? Fiscal Cliff.
That's right. Lower marginal tax rates
Fiscal
is
Cliff
one
Schechter.
Of the names I was thinking about.
Jever Notice. Jever, J-E-V-E-R hyphen Notice. I know that seems odd, but then Jever Notice. Forget that. So you can edit that out.
Yeah, we can edit it. We'll definitely edit that out. There's
but
no
Neshama,
doubt.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to be naming them Neshama. Or Fiscal Cliff, maybe Fiscal Cliff, but not probably.
Giancarlo?
No.
Michael
I don't know.
Bublé?
We can't. Michael Bublé?
Michael Bublé? You can name him that.
I think I might name him after Steven Crowder, who is the. Is that the guy's name?
Kraut Cedar? His name would be Kraut Cedar. Is
I'm
that what
name
you
him
want?
After my
is that what you want?
Favorite. My favorite Fox News provocateur now.
Provocateur. How about the name Provocateur?
Let's talk about this, because I want you to show. Have you not heard this story?
No, I have not. But I can't believe I'm thrilled. If a Fox guy was assaulted, I'm in. I'm not a violent person, but I'll take it. I mean, if it's directed towards people who deserve it, and I'm not talking about pettiness in my personal life. I'm talking about cultural criminals like this, Fox people, and liars like Christie or Michelle Malkin, all those people. And I want to go out on a limb here and say I'm against misogyny. You know me, Sam.
No,
you
I know that you...
I am against misogyny, unless you want to aim it towards Coulter or Malkin or Elaine Chao or any of those people, then I'll take it.
Well, then it's not really technically misogyny because it's not...
I'll take it any way I can get it against those... cultural criminals.
You want to put that out there. You want to put them in a cultural prison, cultural punishment.
I'm just saying any avenue towards disliking people who are harming us as a society and preventing us from evolving, I will take it. Anyway,
they're doing their best anyways. I don't know if they're actually succeeding.
They don't succeed ultimately, but they do a hell of a job in the meantime while we're trying to evolve.
That's right. All right, so let me tell you this story about this Steven Crowder.
Yes.
Who apparently, in Canada, on Sun News, has his own segment called Crowder Louder, or Louder Crowder, or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he is
I'm going to assume that's wrong, because you said it. But what is it really called? I apologize.
That's all right.
I understand more than I do on this.
It was Crowder Louder. I watched it.
Okay.
Louder,
I just,
Crowder.
I just,
doesn't
you
matter.
Tend to get that stuff.
Doesn't even matter. I mean, it's...
All right. It's fine. Go ahead. You're right. It doesn't matter.
Doubter, Crowder? I don't think so.
Yeah, let's not. Let's check
and so
Wikipedia.
this guy shot some footage of him getting beat up, or his cameraman. Mm-hmm. He's a Fox News contributor or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Stringer or moron. And he was at the Michigan rally in Lansing when all the union guys were there. He was by the AFP tent. you know, the Americans for Freedom, Prosperity, whatever it was, set up their freedom agenda tent, basically to instigate, you know, some type of problems with the union.
Yes, because a tent full of hate has elastic walls. All are welcome. All are welcome.
And this guy, I played a clip of him on Hannity yesterday where he's talking like, I got into a tussle with these people. There were women in that tent. And then there were women and old people in that tent. By the time the segment was over, there were women and old people and children in the tent. Now, I don't know why there were children in the AFP tent. There's no video record of them being there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're very small. They could be hiding in the blades of grass. And so here he is, however, when he got questioned as to the footage and the tape. Now, in the tape that he sent around, he's getting punched in the face. What the tape doesn't show is that he went up to a guy who was doing nothing, you know, yelling maybe, but doing nothing, and pulled him down to the ground. Mm-hmm. And when the guy got up, the guy punched him in the face.
Right. As I am certain that nobody just punches this guy unprovoked. There's, and I'm sure he did anything he could to provoke.
Absolutely. This is the best thing that's ever happened to his career. As of, you know, 2 days ago, I never heard the guy's name ever. I mean, I have heard of like Crowd. And I've heard of Loud, but I've never heard of Louder, Crowder, or whatever it is. So here he is in Canada talking, and he basically admits what happens. All right, I'm going to play it back a little bit, and you'll see. We'll play a little more. Here we go. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
No. What? You got to be kidding. All right, let's fast forward here.
Good timing? Well, that depends how you look at it. Steve Crowder.
No, keep it up.
Call him a friend. He's on the show every Wednesday with Louder with Crowder. Steve.
Louder with Crowder. Okay, all right, that's the part I want to show, just to make sure.
Overworked, okay. Overtrained, underrested, and apparently still tough enough to take a full shot in the button from a union thug. So it's another day above
that
ground.
That was spontaneous, right. By the way. He just thought of it. He did not practice that line in any way.
This has not only gone viral, it's been on pretty much every news station. We're going to see now a minute and a bit of what happened when Steve was in a completely non-violent way interviewing union protesters.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Right. Look at what a thug he is. He looks like a frat guy that would make your life miserable in school.
Let's skip ahead.
Well, you know, I think in this country the police would have intervened. However, I have experienced there was assault on me at York University. Luckily, I had someone with me who was trained in this area. The police refused to press charges. David Menzies was punched by a Muslim fanatic. And the police virtually mocked him and wouldn't even walk back with him and his children to the car to give him some sort of protection.
So were there any Christian fanatics involved in this?
We can easily identify here. We can see the man who has... He's not pushing you. He's punching you repeatedly. Now, surely even out of embarrassment alone, the police would feel obliged to arrest this moron.
Right. Well, of course, and listen, I went in completely nonviolently asking questions. Did I provoke them? Well, I provoked thought. I provoked debate.
Right.
I asked them why they were against right to work. I asked them why they would oppose someone... who is not union and doesn't want to join a union, why they should be penalized. I asked them these questions, what they thought merited me being punched in the face.
He's an intellectual, and I've been very honest about this.
No, the fact that as they started ransacking the tent, me and some men went out there while there were women and people in the tent, older people, some people in wheelchairs, by the way, in the tent, and we didn't
do not allow women or the disabled to be anywhere near our tent.
We tried to push them off the tent that they were destroying because, as you saw, women were in
there. Does he look like he's asking questions?
There are beams. There were pots of hot coffee. There were hot dog stands in that tent, okay?
Hot dog stands.
Hot dog stands. What could be more American except for Canada?
Look, that's the guy. He takes that guy. There's a clip. Now it clips. Now that guy's on the ground.
Yeah.
Me likey. About 300 to 1. You know, thousands of people with only a few AFP protesters.
That was a nice shot.
And to literally see the walls. The walls of your one sanctum coming in while people yell, get the F out of my state. F them up. F them up. One more tent. Do you realize the terror that goes through your mind when this occurs?
Sure. Especially when there's women and hot dogs.
But he basically...
Some of the women were menstruating.
The guy admits, we did try to push them off the tent. That's true. We tried to push them off the tent. Why is a reporter going in and attacking the people... I'm just there asking questions. Now, we did get a bunch of guys together and go over and grab them and pull them down on the ground, but then they punched me.
It's indicative of, it doesn't matter where you live or what era, the right, well, let's call it right-wing nature, or this quote-unquote conservative nature, this type of guy, whether he be in Canada or anywhere else, or America, it's the same person over and over. The same personality issue. Oh, it's all the pathologies that afflict the human condition are what make it be a right winger. Even in Canada, where you think people, it should be nice. I'm in Canada. You know what I mean? But there's always people, whether it be neurological issues, nature, nurture, whatever it is. But this guy is no different than the guy on the playground that was
right.
was a bully. He's a bully now. He has pretended it's political. He has pretended that there's policy behind it. But he is just a person who is has a terrible personality. And that's what makes it be a right winger.
And I think there's also an entrepreneurial quality to what he's doing, to be fair.
He's being opportunist. Yes, that yeah. doesn't not make you
right.
an ass.
Right. No, indeed.
And in the direction that he's going, the way – I mean, there's – Ben and Jerry have that spirit, that business spirit. yeah. That's a different thing, yes. you know?
Yeah. I don't think this guy's no Ben Cohen.
No, I'll say. Oh, you remember how much I had crush on those guys. Very wealthy gentlemen with ice cream farms. or whatever farmland yeah, Ben Cohen in Vermont was it, with ice cream.
Oh, was it Ben boy. Cohen? Was one of the first guests that we had on the original Majority Report?
I know, very attractive. Very, I know. Not, he came bearing not, ice cream.
I don't think very attractive.
I'm talking about on the inside and what he represents: great wealth and ice cream that he has on him all the time.
There
and
you
if he
go,
doesn't
guys.
Have it, he can get it.
There you go, guys. That is the secret to a lady's. Oh, you're going to give me a present?
These are presents for both Myla and for the new baby. And so this one's for the baby.
A boy can definitely wear this.
Yes,
are you
kidding? a cool one. But I'm just saying,
George W. Cedar will wear that.
Check it out, Jimi Hendrix.
It's a handmade vest.
Handmade?
That's handmade.
You're kidding.
You can also order a special and the.
Myla's going to be pissed because she's going to be like, oh, my God, I want that.
That's why I got her maybe something that she might think is cool, too.
Oh, man, a Bowie shirt.
These are great. These are perfect.
These are awesome. She's going to love this.
And that the company that did that vest will do other things, too. But you can pick the materials you want, the musician you want on the inside, things of that nature.
This is too awesome. Yeah, no, my kid is going to be cool enough to wear this.
I know, boy, that actually I would love it. And I love little boys with long hair. Please let your son have long hair. I love that.
Is it reversible?
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting. And I guess it could be. Sure.
That is cool. That is even cooler.
Now, that's the kind of initiative I like. I like the cut of your jibs, son.
See what we got going on.
He reminds me
here?
Of Patrick Garofalo, who I notice isn't on your showroom. But you remind me of my nephew, Patrick.
I've had
Think Progress.
Patrick on, haven't I? I've had him on.
I feel like not enough.
Well, that's probably true.
I feel like not enough.
He's a very smart guy. I read his stuff all the time.
He is also having a baby.
Is he?
He is.
Why?
I don't know. I could say the same thing about you.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, we're going to be underwater in 4 years. What are you people?
I know. That's the thing is I wanted, you know.
Well, if you just want to have for 4 years, I mean, that's fun. Because after the age of five, I find it is diminishing returns.
It is. I'll tell you something.
Less
actually,
cute, more difficult.
No, I mean, I got to say, it's almost the opposite. When Myla turned like 6 and a half, it was like, oh my God, I don't have to wipe her butt anymore. I don't have to, she can get her own milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to do anything for anyone. It's like having another person. Now, you know.
There's a whole other set of issues that comes into play, though.
Well, yeah,
when you
that's coming.
Carry them around.
Right.
And then you just got to wait. It's diminishing returns until the grandchildren come.
Right,
and
it's
then there's
true.
New babies,
but
little new toddlers in the
I'm
tub.
I'm so much older than this new kid that there's. I'm not going to see.
Yeah, but that's the norm now.
Is that?
I think it's very usual for people to be, you know, Paul Dinello, our friend Paul Dinello, who has a 1 year old and another one on the way, who is,
he's older
as
than
old. Yes, he's my age or David Cross's age. Now, David Cross, as you know, may wind up having a baby soon, and he's older than you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I haven't.
I'm just saying it's not unusual these days to for people who are cool and live in Brooklyn to be older, right?
Right. I mean, I guess so.
Because all these people are like Brooklyn hipsters I'm naming here.
Well, all right. I mean, I'm not. That's fine. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to get the grandkids, probably. I don't know. Might.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because if they wait as long as I did, I mean, I'm gonna be like 105.
What's some people are, and by the time you're in that area, we may have the technology
To keep me alive.
To keep you alive. It might not be enjoyable.
Right.
And I'm sure this room isn't helping extend your life.
It's just, you know what it is? It's I had an apple yesterday and didn't empty the trash.
Maybe we could just put his head in a tube and it'll just like float.
Like on The Walking Dead, those floating heads.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, The Walking Dead. I love The Walking Dead. I am bereft on Sundays when there's no Mad Men and no Walking Dead. What do I do?
My sister, Julie, has said, say hi to Janine for me.
Hello.
She misspelled your name.
Hey. Hey, Julie.
She misspelled your name.
That's okay. She spelled it the French way.
What else you want? Did you want to talk about what's his face? You saw that Joy Behar clip?
I did. Well, that gentleman has given me agita for a while.
Ron Christie. I'd never heard of him before.
No, I've seen him before. He's one of those people that must be suffering from Stockholm syndrome. Any females or people of color in the Republican Party, I can only assume Stockholm syndrome or mercenaries. Anything for
right.
me. But he's one that just is unbelievably lies all the time. But he has a tell, as Ann Coulter does. When Ann Coulter is going to lie, she will say, in point of fact, and then she will say whatever the opposite
lie.
Of the truth is.
Right.
And Ron Christie has a tell, and his is, the fact of the matter is, that's his tell of about when he's about to completely lie.
He was, we were in the green room, and he was very nice. And, you know, my whole pro on Joy Behar, I get to debate conservatives. It's the only place I really do on TV now, and maybe on Larry Kudlow, but not.
Well, there was that woman too that was making you laugh last time you were on Joy Behar.
Yes.
That a conservative black chick, is that
yes,
her name?
Yes, that was.
I get now that is Stockholm syndrome. Black conservative black chick. What in the world is going on? Here's a party that has no respect for you whatsoever on any level.
Right.
You can have no sovereignty over your body. There's a bunch of racists.
You're pretty
Condi Rice. Condi
like,
Rice.
No, but there is a. But see, that's the thing. The token. They'll put a token. Now it doesn't change that they are racist in the part just to have an African American do something that extends racist policies or you know what I mean just as one example or anti-women policies. It doesn't make them not, but as Hillary, you know, the speculation for Hillary running, as you know, is she, you know, will she run? So you know what they're going to do. The Republican Party, they will do the old we will have other women. Because they think that's enough. Just like when Sarah Palin was
right.
shot out.
I think they'll do as a VP. I just don't think
No, they might do VP. What I'm saying is, though, they'll do that thing where when...
Oh, we've got our own woman.
We've got a woman. And when they'll bust out Sarah
well,
Palin so that you go,
right?
Other woman. Like, there was a woman who's gone now because there's a black man. Other woman! You know what I mean? Like, that you'd just be like, I vote for her. That's how they, and that is not an impression of someone mentally challenged. Please don't anyone get upset. I am saying that is how they view you
as
a simplistic being that you go, the woman is gone. There was a woman and she's gone. There's another woman I can vote. You know, like that you would.
Well,
like
that's the whole thing. They confuse
for.
Identity politics with
yes.
actual policies that implicate
yes.
certain identity groups. That's why, you know, when they're like, when you hear Rush Limbaugh say, we had Hispanic ladies on the convention.
On the payroll.
At the convention.
On the payroll.
But that's not enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. We had Hispanic ladies willing to sell out their own best interests and those
well,
they
no,
care
no.
about.
To be fair, Ron Christie.
Who may also be gay. I think that's not a criticism. I just feel like he might be.
He's married. I think he's married.
I actually saw... This is the most bizarre quasi-celebrity sighting of my life. I actually was walking on the street in Manhattan one day, and I saw Ron Christie with must have been his wife. And I had no idea why I recognized this person until I realized, oh, I've like seen him on Hardball or something, and he was walking with his wife.
Oh, I just assumed he was also gay in that way. That what could be more unfriendly in the right wing where he resides? Gay, black...
right.
You know
how,
I mean?
Much
like, how much
Stockholm
more
syndrome?
How
right.
much more low self esteem for money can we peddle here? So me saying gay wasn't a criticism. I was just assuming. Oh, he might be gay too. For all we
no,
know.
I actually thought you
extending
that's what
anti-gay
I thought.
Policies
and probably a union member.
No, he would never do that. That's too far. That's a bridge too
that
far.
That is a step too far.
I need
far,
to grab
Sam.
Some water. I'm dying.
Oh, do we not have
sorry,
water
no, no,
for
no,
Janine?
No, I have it in my bag. Please,
oh,
excuse
right.
me. Please continue with the show.
All right, Janine's...
I don't want to break the illusion.
Now, just be careful of the wires there.
Thank you. Oh, my. Oh, ooh. Pardon me.
Well.
Oh my God. Ugh. All right. Anyway.
I don't know how I do that. I can do this.
Got it. All right.
A little better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is what it is. yeah, Ron Christie was a weird one. He basically said, when I got in there, he's like, so he must have, I guess, Googled me or something and was talking about like, so you're still doing a lot of comedy? And I was like, not really. But you do voices, right? Like, well, yeah, occasionally on Bob's Burgers. Yeah, that's great. I love it. I'm a big fan of yours.
So either he actually is telling you the truth, or he's trying to win you over, thinking you are silly enough to be won over by flattery and will not point out the errors in what he's saying.
Yeah, and then I think he got mad during the interview, and I think you could see that when he basically said, well, Sam, how long have you been in politics?
Right. But he also might say, what, when you're not doing your voices?
Yes.
And you're not doing your cartoons with your friend Brendan Small, whose band Death Clock is at Roseland tonight.
That's right. Well, I mean, I'm not doing them with Brendan Small, actually.
No, I'm saying, but you used to.
There was a time.
There was a time. Home movies.
Home movies. Fenton.
Right. So hence the connection. And then I had texted you about saying Death Clock tonight.
I know.
And
I can't.
You didn't get back to me because you have babies.
I got to go to winter holiday. You know what we did last night? Is went to the Nutcracker.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Classy.
Yeah.
Was it the Bolshoi Ballet version or was it the American
George Balanchine?
Balanchine, nice. Yeah. And you know what I learned? That Bolshoi Ballet, Bolshoi is Russian for big, so it's just big ballet. It actually takes some of the shine off. I just love the name Bolshoi.
What do you do? I'm going to go and get some IMs for you in a second. Oh, wow. Okay.
What's that mean?
I'm going to. People want to write in and ask you questions. But what are you doing these days?
Oh, well, I'm still doing stand-up, and I've got two sets tonight. I am actually shooting a pilot in L.A. In January.
What is it?
Who knows if it's going to get picked up. So
It will never get picked up, but these things never get picked up.
Well, it's starring Paul Sorvino. I play his daughter, and...
tell me what the nature is. Is it a police procedural?
It is just a drama about an ex-organized crime guy, a drama.
Ah.
And
are you on the lam?
No. My
witness protection.
Paul Sorvino, who plays my father in it, is an ex-organized crime gentleman who is now retired in a way, if you ever can. And I am his daughter, who does not have much of a relationship with him because I was unhappy with his organized crime. When he's older now, he's trying to make amends daughter. I'll tell you later.
Okay. Later. Sounds like Lifetime.
Television for women. They love organized crime stories.
That's really big.
No, it is not for Lifetime. Not that there's anything wrong with Lifetime television.
No, of course.
It's very nice.
You don't want to burn any bridges here.
No. Nor would I. I've done a TV movie for Lifetime. Remember, it was while we were doing...
I don't remember what it was.
Because I did one for Oxygen, too. I think it was called Nadine in Dateland. But that might have been the Oxygen one. And then the other one was called... Binky.
Danine in Dateland.
Nadine.
No, I'm saying the other one.
Oh.
I was making a joke that they were probably similar.
I was just thinking, I like that name, Nadine, but you're having a son.
Yeah.
Damn, I have to...
How?
How about Nate, Ned, Dean?
No.
How about Dino in honor of Dino Stamatopoulos?
No. No. Why would I... I
just like Dino
Cedar?
Of all the guys...
Dino! I like that name.
Let's go to the IM, shall we? Bob Flav. Hey, Sammy, too drunk to talk to you live today. Take care, man. Laters. Well, there you go.
Wow. What time is it where he is?
Catherine Harris interviews, please. We're going to do a best of Catherine Harris, definitely, right? For the best
of. By the way, why do you, I have to mention, when Catherine Harris calls in, why do you keep, not advertising, but on your site, it says Janine Garofalo as Catherine Harris. I am not the voice of Catherine Harris, and I don't know why you keep saying that.
We do that as a way of trolling. Sometimes we put up Catherine Deneuve.
No,
as,
well, it just says Janine Garofalo as Catherine Harris all the time. When I listened to it, and it's Catherine Harris calling, as far as I knew, I will tell you why.
This is the reason why we do this.
Yeah.
We said we need to draw people in. with a name.
Well, then you better get
we
one
were
going to
go with other names, but we thought that you didn't have a computer and would never find out.
No, Pete does, though, and Pete listens to is a member and listens to you every day.
I never thought
my
about
my boyfriend,
that.
Pete, he is a huge fan of yours and is a member, and he shows me that it says that, and I am always curious as why would you do that when Catherine Harris is calling? Why would you say there's another person calling as a person? Makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Triangle Bill, looking good on the Sammy cam. Tell Janine that, yes, it's live, but we're fine with it. It adds a wonderful, endearing quality. Hang in there, Sam. No technical difficulty. Janine is Janine, all your effort all those years during the horrid, dark Bush-Cheney era was yesterday was vindicated. The European court has ruled that, yes, indeed, the U.S. did, in fact, practice torture. So congrats. Sadly, you were right all along.
It'd be nice to have been wrong, although lots of people actually were correct about that, about the torture thing.
Well, there wasn't too many people who were correct about the fact that we shouldn't go into
Iraq. There was, they just weren't allowed to be ridiculed.
Who were allowed to say it on television, and so you deserve a tremendous amount of credit for that, because it took a lot of, there were people who may have known, but didn't have the guts to say it if they had a platform on television, because they didn't want to lose that platform. And there were other people who weren't allowed to go on television and weren't subjected to the abuse that you were for being so right. If there was some measure of justice in this world right now, you'd be the lead columnist on the New York Times op-ed page.
Oh, I don't know if that would be just. I can't spell. But also,
no, but they have spell correction on computers. That's what I'm saying.
I write everything out longhand.
I wouldn't have said it. Well, somebody, you would get a type. Someone would type
it right on a yellow legal pad.
Someone would type it in for you. You'd get an intern.
Speaking of the Iraqi civilians and the Afghani people who are suffering, not to mention the veterans who come home here and suffer without anyone taking care of them, I say we get a Kickstarter program going for those people.
Sure.
Because they're not getting any money from the government. I hear Kickstarter works really well.
Oh,
for
yeah.
For people who want to make a film.
Indiegogo. Or,
that kind of thing. So I'd say maybe the Iraqi and Afghani people can look to Kickstarter.
Right. Yeah.
To get money to undo some of the damage done.
We need to keep those marginal tax rates low, folks. So we're gonna have to go to Kickstarter.
I mean, I hear the kids in Williamsburg are making films with Kickstarter. Why can't the Iraqi people get that grid up and running again with the Kickstarter? Get the water cleaned. Things of that nature.
What would they give them in return? Usually, like, you fund something and get something in return.
What would the Iraqis give us in return?
Like, what would $10 donation get you on Kickstarter for that?
What is in Iraq agrarian wise or agriculturally? What are some of their big products that
spent U.S. shells
they used to have?
Spent U.S. shells,
depleted uranium. Here's what they will give you back: depleted uranium that we are not using, theoretically, in Iraq or Afghanistan. The depleted uranium that we are technically not using on people. They could give loads of it back to us.
Right. We could get all that uranium back and start, you know.
And undeplete it.
Undeplete that.
I believe that there is.
If you alone fund the whole project, they'll tell you where the weapons of mass destruction are.
Right, because.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, they're still there. Unless,
you can go to the top level and we'll give you the directions of where we've hid them in Syria.
Except for the ones that Fox will say we found. Then we did find
this
them.
This is actually an interesting question as to why, if there's so much that was hidden in Syria, why have the Syrian government not used it yet, right?
Exactly. Well, this is an age-old question we could have asked about many things.
Saddam kept the key.
The perceived threats that are always out there looming at us that these people just don't use. They have the stuff,
right?
And they are imminent threats. Apparently,
they just
are opting not to use it, but they may use it on their own people
because they're so crazy.
Oh my
Before
God.
The Syrian revolution, Syria shipped the weapons of mass destruction to North Korea, which is why we have to worry about the North Korean satellite right now.
And they already had a ton.
Exactly.
I mean, it is a load of crock out there. It is just a load of crock. Is it not, Sam? Let me pick one.
I don't have
keep
as many.
Talking while I.
Congrats on the baby, Sam, into architecture. I don't know why people say that. You've done what literally billions of people have done, what you yourself did before. Why is that meritorious of congratulations? Because it's more polite to say congratulations than really sorry to hear that. Good luck, dude. You're going to need it.
I mean, don't think so.
Janine's got a hold of the board. Well, whatever. Good luck, Sam. I'm going to remain gay, selfish, and childless. I'm glad someone out there is making babies so I don't have to. Cheers. L. Porter, I hear you, Bo. Clower.
Oh, was there something mean that you just didn't read? I hear you, Bo, and then he deleted it or whatever people do.
Abaddon, you both actually sound like saying that's a ton of tons, croc.
No, I know. That's what I was saying. That's the croc is one thing, but you could say that that's a croc of crocs. That's a ton of tons, right? Is that what he's saying?
Listen to this. Dr. Radmanthes, we love you, Janine. I heard Andy Dick mention you the other day on WTF. That's the Mark Maron
has a podcast. Maron. Have you heard of that, Sam? Mark Maron has this podcast.
I don't know
if you're familiar with it. It's called WTF.
Nope.
Through the roof.
Nope.
Popularity.
Have not through heard the
roof. I wish you could get him on your show, but I know you can't. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm. There's no way he could be on your show.
He was on a couple weeks ago.
But it is a wonderful podcast. WTF, if you haven't
wasn't
heard
he
of
on
it,
a
Sam.
Couple weeks ago? He was on a
he
couple
was,
weeks ago.
And he didn't mention his podcast to us?
That's I don't know
how
even
you got
say.
Him. I mean, he is like a king.
Well, all right. Well,
nay, a god.
Well, I heard.
I'm sure if he had a podcast, he'd have you on all the time, Sam.
I heard Andy.
I bet he would. He would. I mean, he would. Anyway, wait.
Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining.
Do you agree with Andy Dick's comments that Portland is a city full of Janine Garofalo?
Well, I happen to love Portland. I'm going to take that as a compliment. I don't know if he meant it as a compliment, but does he mean Portland? Which Portland? There's Portland, Oregon,
Andy,
and Portland, Maine, I believe.
Yeah,
I
might even Andy Portland. Dick.
But Portland, Oregon, and Portland, Maine, for that matter. But, boy, I love it. And, boy, the food truck revolution has taken hold in Portland.
They want you to say
Cooking Channel.
Peaches to close the show.
I will, but well, okay. Are we closing now?
No, we will in a minute. We're going to go a little late.
Okay.
Congrats, Sam. If it's not bullshit, it's a good combo, younger boy, older girl. That's what I've got myself. Name suggestions, Joe Lieberman Jr., tying your film career. For homages, you could go with Zin Cedar or Chris Hayes Cedar. Yes. If you want to go with trendy hipster names, pick any of the kids' names from Charlie Brown, excluding Pigpen.
Ooh.
Seguida. Zuta Lors. Salud. Suspect used the gun. A picture of a 223. Oi. Oh my God.
I'm sorry to bring up the shooting. I mean, I'm sorry that, I mean, that we even have to talk about it. But what blows my mind is, you know, the lack of political will. That's a given, and it's very sad. But that you can't bring, and I'm not even being flippant here, Snickers bars near a school, right? Nut allergies. You can't bring nut foods anywhere near a child's party to a playground.
Right.
You can't. Do you see what I'm saying? So nuts, right? So somehow we've gotten nuts and peanut butter away from children. How is it that guns are okay, right?
You see, Janine, nuts and peanut butter aren't covered by the Constitution.
But why not? The framers, their original intent was that we have as much peanut butter
society.
As we want. I mean, the earliest of colonists from 1606, when the Virginia Company of London gave a charter under, I believe it was King George, we have Walter Raleigh, the right to come and exploit the indigenous peoples.
Peanut farmers. I mean, that was huge.
I'm just going to get – do you remember last week you talked with Cliff about how Rush was doing some whole thing about spatulas kill people, all these other types of things? So this is also a horrible, horrible story. So just as a warning, but it illustrates the point. So in China, a couple of days ago, a guy attacked a school with a knife. He attacked several school children. 22 kids were injured, and there hasn't been any reported death. So it's also obviously totally horrific, but it illustrates the point. So
of course. I mean, you have to be a total moron.
You
have to be a total moron to say that.
But you can't
this
do
guy
as much damage
killed
with a knife than you can with
right.
the type of
of course,
of
that's the point.
Gun that
that's
this
the,
gentleman
that's the whole
had.
Point. That's the whole point.
But,
yeah.
But even that, yes, the underpinnings of it, if a person is crazy enough to do damage to themselves or others, they're going to do it. And we are, actually, when people say we are not a violence, we are. People need to understand that I do believe it is part of the human condition, but definitely in this country, from its very founding. And again, I'm not being flippant, but I believe we are based on the Roman model. Ancient Rome was an empire of great violence. Britain modeled themselves on it. We are offshoots of Britain. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So the Roman Empire, the Brits inherited bullying. I'm being reductive here, but follow me. From the Roman model which they admired, of empire and dominance. Then the Brits exported it to this country, and the indigenous peoples here...
Manifest destiny.
Yes, but not just that, the behavior. Now, not every indigenous person who was here before the quote-unquote white man got here was peaceful, but for the most part, there was not the deliberate and overwhelming need to exterminate that we seemed to have when we got here, to the point of giving deliberately infected blankets to the Indians right. with the smallpox, to just slaughtering them wholesale, you know what I mean? To taking the land, not honoring treaties. To this day, the Native Americans are treated unfairly. To this day, they are marginalized and mocked if they try and stand up for themselves. All of that stuff. But we are violent. Guns have been part of the very fabric of the colony. You know,
right. No, of course.
I'm saying,
yes. And but my point about the manifest destiny is that if you believe that it's God's will, ultimately, that you control all of this, then it makes it much easier for you to actually execute that plan. You know, this is not, you know, that's the...
But a lot of it was secular. Not everybody was a religious zealot who believed it was God's will, manifest destiny. There was many people who just were...
But it permeates the society.
Boys who just wanted land.
This guy, I mean, this type of craziness, this notion of, like, I can empower myself and go in there and do this, it's right. It comes from, it's in the ether in this society. You're right. There's no doubt about it. Cool J 146, the welfare-loving military spends $500 million annually on marching bands and operates 234 golf courses globally. Funny how there's an outcry of old people being entitled to Social Security, but not soldiers being entitled to golf courses. Did I say funny? I meant infuriating. Left Coast Marcus, okay, let's get this straight. Is Janine saying she's pregnant with your baby?
Yes.
Congratulations, Sam. It's good to have a second kid. You can get this one right after traumatizing your first. Great to see you and Janine together. I heard from Janine for the first time, and the concept of social justice, it was a real aha moment. Right-wing media conglomerate launched Sun TV last year, basically Fox North. Couldn't exist without lots of backroom funding, but we know that Fox News ran for 5 years until they became mainstream, and also at a loss for a significant period of time. Jay Tingle, you may name your masculine child after me.
Is that Jimmy Tingle?
No.
Oh.
It's highly inappropriate of Janine, I work clean, Garofalo, for use to use the phrase me likey. As a result of her insensitivity, I'm going to have to spend the next hour consoling my houseboy.
Oh, I wasn't even imbuing the me likey with any type of ethnic background.
Mm.
Honestly, I was not. I was not doing a character from South Pacific. I was not. I was.
He's joking.
Me, I know he is, but I didn't even think of that. Me likey.
Avigdor Lieberman resigned on Friday after being charged with fraud and breach of trust. Is that right?
It's true, but I think he's also opening himself up for more influence after the next election.
Oh, good, good. Because if you can't get the most racist, corrupt guy to have that type of influence in the only democracy in the Middle East, Afghani people can get some of that Kickstarter go if they have any former members of the Dresden Dolls amongst their cohort. My union workers said first thing this morning that it's the law forbidding firearms in schools that allowed this massacre to occur. Hey.
What? I don't understand.
He's saying that his union co-workers were like, there should be more guns in schools. Day Fru, congrats, Sammy. Love
more
you,
nuts.
Janine.
I say there should be more nuts.
Miss you like
there should
crazy.
Be more Snickers bars in schools.
Yeah.
More
Indeed.
Peanut butter in schools.
So kids can learn to build up some natural
some
defenses.
Some tolerance from these nut allergies. I mean, it's a what is the scam? What's your angle, children, with these nut allergies? I think it's unexamined narcissism.
Please beat the hell out of the first jackass who starts whining that teachers should all be armed or similar damn fool nonsense. So I guess the theory is this. What we want is the teachers to have a handgun, right? Because they wouldn't be able to carry the assault rifle that this guy used.
Right.
Because that would be awkward to hide that in your pants.
Well, then it would have to be on them, though, because they need immediate access.
Right.
It needs to be in a holster on them with the safety on or off. We don't know. So because she can't or he can't take time to go to the desk, get it out of its lockbox. Because unless you want the kids to have access to the gun.
Now, what you also would do is you would train all of these teachers so that they would be expert rifle men or women or handgunners. And then you'd also, because the key is when you take these teachers on the training ground, what you do is you put little cutouts of kids all around so that in that heat of the moment when the guy comes in with the automatic rifle, you can whip out your handgun and, you know, now, of course, it's not going to be so much time to do lesson plans for the kids because you got to be out in the training ground to do this. You whip out your handgun. You immediately sense the direction in which these kids, because the kids aren't going to be able to rely on you, of course, to do the lockdown drill because you got to be out there with the gun. Kids are going to be scattering. So you need to basically pull it out, be able to see the shooter. And before his laser sight comes on you, because, of course, you just have a small handgun because, you know, you want to be able to keep it under your, you know, under your book bag or whatever it is that you're packing.
No, it would be holster.
And you shoot it out. Yeah, you holster. You whip it out of your holster.
This is the thing. It's tragic that we're even, and we're not being flippant. Please believe
there,
it.
There's
the
no response
is
there,
it
to
is
this
absurd.
Insanity.
It's absurd that we have to keep going back and forth on this, and never is there movement. Never is there movement on this, and that the NRA keeps peddling this nonsense that your guns are going to be taken away, all this kind of stuff. And I think the only way there would be movement, maybe, is if some top NRA people or political people's own children were compromised, because it seems to be only selfishness that moves certain people politically. Especially right-wingers or people that are orthodox on things. It tends to be – has to be personal.
I think there just has to be enough outcry for people against their Congress, their representatives.
How much more outcry? I'm just going to say it. There's a particular photo they keep showing of the children on the line. And the look of it actually – it's upsetting to – when children are that frightened – and there's a little girl on that line who is weeping.
Right.
Look at that picture, and that doesn't move the person. And you know, also not just in this country, but we should be forced to see the damage done by our weapons internationally, especially to children, because that seems to actually have some traction with people who feel things. Anyway.
Well, that also becomes it, right? I mean, it's like, because once you in any way start saying, well, you can't sell automatic weapons here, then people start wondering, like, hey, wait a second, why are we selling so many of them around the world? How could that be healthy? Jay Bryson, 451, big congrats, Sam. It's horrible to have these two sort of stories concurrent. The imminent birth of my second child and this horrible shooting, but
that has become the norm, though. These shootings
White House spokesman.
Are very natural.
White House spokesman. Normal. Jay Carney said today is not the day to discuss gun control. The day to discuss
oh my God, that is absolutely I'm sorry to just that's what I'm talking about. The level of absurdity. And how about when just as another example, the war crimes, right? And so people would say about the first term of Obama. Are you going to prosecute? Time to look forward. No finger pointing. No looking back. Now's not the time. It's a classic dodge, but also total. It's not in play for regular citizens, right? Nobody nobody on a smaller scale who commits a crime gets that benefit of a person saying, now's not the time
right.
to talk about it.
Sorry, I committed insurance fraud when I pretended my car was stolen, but now's not the time.
Now's
to look
not the
backwards.
Time, small, you know. So, or
now let's look forward.
The time to talk about gun control is always tomorrow.
Right. Right.
Always tomorrow, exactly. But again, these are all becoming the norm, these stories. Not just that, the amount of homicides every single day by handguns, and internationally, the amount of damage done by our weaponry to others that are not
well, if we have enough of these attacks, then the idea is that then there'll be never a time to do it because it'll be on a daily basis. It really is.
How can
enraging.
You say now is not the time? How in the world is that with a straight face?
Well, you know, the thing that really bothers me is this. Is like this notion of like we should all be in mourning for these
kids. They're not mutually exclusive.
They're not mutually exclusive, but the other point is like, look, this is going to devastate that community, obviously. It's going to devastate all those families. I mean, literally devastate it. You know, you're going to – no one – there's not going to be some type of recovery from this when you have – a dozen, if not more, elementary school kids gunned down by a there's no recovering from this. This is, you've marred people's lives forever. But the fact of the matter is that Jay Carney's not going through that. The people in that press room are not going through that. Tomorrow or next week, they're not going to be thinking about it. This notion that somehow, well, we need to show some type of national respect. We're not respecting anything. There's no respect being paid by not discussing this. There's nothing that we can do. The damage is already done. It's already happened. Their lives are destroyed. Our talking about it one day or another is platitudes. It's platitudes. And
it's a way to show your disrespect, actually. It's a way to show that you do not care by saying now is not the time to talk about it. All the social injustice issues are like that. It's in poor taste to discuss racism, but not to be racist. It's in poor taste to discuss, you know what I mean, for people to bring up misogyny or sexism and the nonsense that we're post-racial. But then again, this violence, this is not new. We are, unfortunately, as a people,
right,
quite violent.
And that's why the issue is whether or not you give someone the tools to fully execute that nature on some level. Agnes Olibris, thanks for listen live. Thanks so much for posting the download quickly. PhD chemist, Mazel Tov, Sam. Great discussion today. They made me rage. Is anyone really worried about a Scott Brown rerun if Kerry gets nominated? He doesn't stand a chance. I would welcome someone other than Kerry in Massachusetts, like Ed Markey or Mike Capuano. One should be senator, the other should be governor. I don't know. You know, I've heard different things coming out of Massachusetts. It's always a special election is always a tricky thing, but I don't know. Sam, name your son Chris Hayes Cedar. How about Jenk Cedar, Tom LaFollette Cedar? Hey, nut jobs, Obama will take your dicks, your guns.
Dylan
your
Radigan
guns.
Cedar? Or where's Dylan Radigan? What the heck happened to Dylan Radigan from Dilligan's Island?
Morella, great to see Janine on your show. Cheers and greets and congrats, Sam. I missed the beginning. Did you say you're going to have a boy? Yes. You don't know the gender? Yeah, we're going to have a boy in probably less than 3 months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought I had told you already.
Apparently not.
We waited a long time before we told anybody because Nikki...
Well, you're not obligated to tell me. I'm just saying.
No,
wow,
no. That's... I thought I had told you. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did. I'm going to go back and check.
Yeah, that's exactly the type of thing that would fly right out of my mind.
Maybe you just missed it. I think I texted you.
No, we've been texting intermittently as we do. That was never part of a text. Now, you may have texted someone thinking it was me. So now somebody
18 hours ago, just saw this tweet. 18 hours ago, Republicans in the Michigan House rammed through a bill making it legal to carry a gun into a school or daycare center.
I'm not at all surprised. And that actually could be like an Onion headlining, Onion headline. But it's not surprising at all. You know, you can carry guns unconcealed or concealed into many places, especially in the South. It's
unbelievable.
It's very simple to do.
Hi, Janine. Bartleby 141. I saw you on the street once not too long ago in the village. I wanted to say hi, but decided to leave you in peace. You were with a gentleman who I did not recognize, but he was sporting a lot of body art. I believe you also have a few tats. Could you describe some of them? Also, did you find yourself a little conflicted working on 24 in terms of the politics? Oh, yeah. Sam, congrats to you and Nikki.
Well, in summation, the tattoos, there's not that much to explain, but this one liberal I got right before we started working here at Air America.
I'm at Air America
for the Majority Report.
You can tell by the smell.
I got this in honor of the kickoff of that station because liberal is not a dirty word. It's something to be proud of. The rest is, you know.
But I did notice you put it on your shoulder and not on your face.
I just didn't want to. I didn't want to tattoo my face,
right? Okay.
Because as I age, I think it would just start going lower and lower. And then, yes, I had conflicts being on 24 because of the politics, and I had even more conflicts being on the Criminal Minds spinoff because of the violence. It made me sick. The torn portrait that passes as a legal procedural. I was very very unhappy, as Mandy Patinkin was.
It probably would have been pretty hard to get on those shows to begin with if you had that tattoo on your face.
Yeah, the tattooing on my face probably would have been counterintuitive for being on those shows.
Let me ask you this. Now that Mandy Patinkin is back on the top, right? I mean, the guy's now like he's...
Oh, he's on Homeland. I have always loved Mandy Patinkin.
Do you think
he's wonderful?
This is going to open up my...
Mandy Patinkin Cedar.
This is going to open up the... This is going to open up the door for me, I think, back at entertainment.
A Patankin type.
Yeah.
Sam Cedar, yeah.
I mean, it seems...
You're like a younger Patankin.
That's what I'm thinking.
Circa Princess Bride.
Like, my whole TV acting career was a function of David Schwimmer.
Well, I already said, I love it when you have a beard and your hair's a bit longer. And I even would like to see chops on you. But you get the beard going. You've got a Patankin vibe for sure.
I definitely do. I definitely do.
I have to go soon.
Okay, yeah, I know. I do too, actually.
There's no more oxygen in this.
Atom Bomb. Escape Fire is a documentary about the misaligned incentives that create sick care instead of a healthcare system. It's available rental on iTunes. Escape Fire. PF 1800, the obvious choice name, Mark Maron Cedar.
I was going to say that, but I had already done the WTF stuff, so I couldn't do that.
Kyle, Janine, you should do a podcast someday. I've been working on a system that makes radio podcasts as easy as a phone call. Ask Sam if
Is
you
it
ever want
the dragon voice activated software?
No. What, did I give you that?
No. I just saw it on TV, an ad for dragons. You just talk at your computers. You don't have to know how to do anything, and it types.
I'm telling you, it's very easy.
Yeah.
Congrats, Sammy. Say hi to Janine, says Jimmy Reefer Cake. Not loving her is impossible. Remember my psycho redneck outlaw song? The gun culture is bullshit in the NRA. Also, isn't it funny that marijuana users can't own guns? Where are the NRA to defend my rights? F them.
Jimmy would bring it to that.
But it's actually a very valid point, because why in the world would the NRA be okay with anyone not being able
to
own them?
That's true.
Why don't they fight for the rights of the people with marijuana? And then also, above and beyond that, why just people with marijuana? What about alcohol? So people who consume alcohol are fine to have guns, right? And
that's
or prescription
very true,
pills.
Yeah.
NB, congrats, Sam. I think all the teachers trained as ninjas. Nothing more we could be more dangerous than the human body. Can't ban that. Kevin, 11-7-21. Yesterday, Senator Lieberman... resigns and says goodbye. Today, Sammy and Janine are on the air again. It's win-win. You outlasted him. We did. Mr. Peanut passed away. Now's not the time to discuss peanut allergies.
You know, it's so true.
Heathen Steven.
So true.
Does Janine have any ideas what to tell my 9 and 6-year-old tonight when the shooting comes up? Dreading that conversation. Congrats to you.
You know, if peanuts weren't banned from schools, we could bring our legal peanuts into the school to combat the peanut criminals.
The legal peanut. Wait a minute. I don't understand.
Crystal Count. People, everyone polite person knows the way to discuss gun control is the second and fourth Sunday of every month, exactly 1 week before and after each shooting. Chimp Evil 666. I recently had to suspend my membership for a couple months with the intention of renewing very soon. However, since you're having another baby, I'm assuming you must be doing okay, so I won't rush to resume my membership. Mazel tov, Sammy.
That person's being...
Hey, what happened?
Being silly. They're just being silly.
Bush and Chains. Hi, Sam. Congrats. Sorry I didn't post today, but listening to the show. Hi, Janine.
Hello.
And the final IM of the day from Jay Tingle will be... Perfect name, David Gregory Cedar. Folks, I'm sorry we didn't get to your phone calls today. We've gone a little bit late.
Anderson Cooper Cedar.
I don't know if we'll make all of this a Freebie Friday. Will we?
It's up to you. It's your call.
I don't know. But
can it be at least casual Friday?
It is casual Friday.
So when people listen, they can put on their easy fit denims and some sneakers?
Indeed.
Maybe some khaki pants with a skosh more room in the seat?
All right, folks. We will see you Monday. Janine, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us.
Thank you.
And on 3...
2, 1...
Peaches!
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Demands are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost my drive.
takes you. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. The months drifted into years, while I shifted in and out of for my moment to happen. I don't know how.